Psalm 121. So if you have your Bible, if you'll open it to page 549, thanks for being here. I'm glad if you were here last week, I did you a great injustice. We talked about weariness, and what we learned last week was from the Bible, good examples, everybody from time to time gets weary. And I think it's important we know that. What's that saying, misery loves company? You know, if I'm going through something and I begin to think, well, you know, nobody else has a problem like this, then the next thing I say is, well, you know, either something's wrong with my faith or, you know, whatever. Well, the truth of the matter is, now everybody won't admit it, but this is my opinion. I think everybody in the world from time to time gets weary. That's why the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. Says that two times. We looked at that last week. Last week, we looked at some of the giants in the Bible that became weary. I mean, like King David, Elijah, Jeremiah, Jonah, Job, and then the Apostle Paul over in Corinthians even lists a bunch of stuff he went through, and he finally says and uses the word weary, became weary. So, you know, I think, well, if I'm going to ever never be weary, I'm going to have to be a better Christian than Apostle Paul, and that's just not true. Human beings, we all get weary. But what I did not do last week, I didn't give you a solution. And I said, if you'll just hang on till next Tuesday, and just bite the bullet, be weary one more week, we're going to kill this weariness. Or at least, no, we're not going to kill it. We're going to prevent it a little bit better. We're going to do better. So we're going to be doing that. Now on your table today, there should be some little small cards like about this size. So if you've not picked one up in a moment or two, we're going to kind of refer to that little card. But I want to talk today about preventing weariness as much as you can. Preventing weariness as much as you can. Now listen carefully. There's a mouthful of wisdom in that statement, that sentence. The fact is you just can't prevent all weariness. So sometimes you're going to get weary. But let's not throw up our hands. There are things we can do that will help us have fewer of those times. It's called prevention. Prevention. And, you know, I was thinking about that. I think myself, if I can prevent something that is bad, then I do a very wise thing. That's true. If I can prevent it, it's true in all areas of life. For example, let's say you have a blood pressure issue and your doctor says, now here are things you can do to prevent having this high blood pressure. If you'll do these things, it will probably eliminate that issue. Well, you'd be very wise to do that, very foolish not to do that, because that could be, you know, uncared for. You could have a stroke. A lot of different things could happen. It's just true. Like, if there's something I can do, for example, to prevent a really bad sermon, well, I'd be wise to do that. You'd be thankful I did it, and I'd be foolish not to do it. So, I mean, like, I know that. I just know there's just some hard work. Now, like what I do on Tuesday, I don't call this even a sermon. I just kind of call it like a thought. Normally, it comes out of some overflow that I am going through in my own maybe life or seeing somebody else go through or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, one of the best ways that we can prevent weariness, and I wish you'd get your little thing, I'm calling it weariness tools. And one of those is to read God's Word every morning. And some of you might say, well, I knew you'd say something like that. It's kind of like a preacher talk. Well, now listen to me. I'm going to talk to you today about four things, and I'll end up saying what I'm going to say now if I can remember it when I get there. When I find myself weary, without exception, of course, I have these little four things pretty well memorized, but I can go look at them, or I can remember them, as the case may be, and I can assure you I have neglected at least one of them, probably more. And it never fails. I've checked it. And sometimes, even knowing that, I neglect this one or I neglect that one. And not every time, but every time I get weary, I look back on that and say, I'm not suggesting if you don't read your Bible every morning, you're going to be weary. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is one of the things that works. And I would encourage you, first of all, to have some plan of reading your Bible. And I don't want to press that issue because some people don't like structure at all. I would discourage you on what's, you know, the lucky dip theory where you just kind of close your eyes and, you know, turn to some page and put your finger down. You might put your finger down on something like maybe Proverbs 23:1. It says, if a man's given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. Well, you know, that wouldn't be a good way to begin the day. So you have to watch that lucky dip theory, but I would encourage you to have some plan. We have good plans here at the church, but I mean, there are other ways. I don't always follow those plans and don't get bound by a plan, but every morning, read God's Word every morning. And then I would encourage you on top of that, you're going to have to, you know, the things I'm suggesting, like when I start saying them, people say, well, I just don't have that kind of time. Well, it doesn't have to be all that much time, but I would say this. I can't imagine thinking I'm going to have a great day with consistency day after day after day and not at least be in God's Word like 10 to 15 minutes reading God's Word and maybe a devotional thought or whatever. And now, of course, those that have plans where they're trying to read through the Bible in a year, they're going to read more scripture than that. I don't want to discourage you from reading through the Bible in a year. It's a great thing to do, and I've done that numbers of times. But, you know, looking back on that, I still am glad I've done it, and I still will probably do that other times. But I think sometimes that discipline, you get so caught up in having to read so many verses and chapters that maybe you don't even have time to think about what you're reading. And, you know, I think sometimes that may work against us more than it's working for us. And yet I've pushed that, and I still think it's a good plan. I would encourage you, whatever your plan is, read the proverb of the day. Proverbs is a book in the Bible that teaches you how to get along with people. And unless you have an unusual lifestyle, you're going to deal with people every day. And people can be boogers. Could I have an amen to that? You know, I mean, we all can. So now today, of course, is the 17th. It's not one of my favorite proverbs. I was thinking about that this morning. I was going to say, and I'm going to mention it, read the proverb of the day. See, if you read the proverb of the day, you read through the whole book of Proverbs every month, basically, except for chapter 31, that virtuous woman, but you don't need her every day. Just catch her when she have a 31-day month. But these others, good. But now, like Proverbs 17, it's not one of my favorite, but there's one of my favorite verses in it. See, even when you're reading a proverb like Proverbs 17, it may be your favorite, but it's not quite as practical as some of the other proverbs. But there is one verse in it that is one of my very favorite. It's in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But then that verse goes on to say, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And I have that verse underlined. Like today when I read Proverbs 17, when I started reading, I thought, I don't like this chapter. It's not my favorite chapter. But I thought, well, I'm going to read it. And then I got down. It says, a merry heart. So I'd gotten an unmerry heart thinking I was reading Proverbs 17. I said, I got to get a merry heart. But first of all, when I read that verse, I think of people that have blessed me that are people that have a merry heart. Don't you just like to be around happy people? I mean, you do. Then this morning in my prayer time, I said, now, God, I'm going to be around a bunch of staff today, and we're going to be in some meetings and dealing with some stuff and all. And God, when I just read that, I just stopped on that verse and prayed, God, help me today that I'd have a good spirit and a merry heart and it'd be contagious in the meetings I'm going to be in this afternoon. So that's the advantage of that. And then a devotional book. I every day read a devotional. There's so many good devotional books. You know, you get a little perspective what somebody else says. And then the Psalms. And I want you to look at me because if you want to turn to one of the Psalms that is a preventive weariness psalm, it would be Psalm 121. Only has 8 verses, but what wisdom we find in those verses. And Jimmy just sang 2 of the verses in his thing today. But look with me in Psalm 121, verse 1. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Well, we'll stop just a moment there. I love that little phrase, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. So when you get weary, you know, what gets us weary is like things and people and problems. That's the stuff right there. And the next thing you know, that's just all you see is this type of stuff. And that psalm reminds me that if I will lift my eyes unto God and get my eyes off of whatever it is that has me being weary, that it will be a very good, helpful thing for me. And then if you look again in verse 2, it says, my help, H-E-L-P, comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then the last part of verse 1 says, my help which comes, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. And then in verse 2a, my help, that was the word help. Now, if you just put your thinking cap on a moment, of course, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is referred to as our helper or our comforter. And both mean the same thing, our helper, our comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit. And so what we're reminded is we just even read this in the Old Testament, we're reminded that, you know, we have a source within us, whatever we're going through that might make us weary. In our own strength, we won't dig out of that. But the fact of the matter is we have living in us the helper, the Holy Spirit. And He provides a source of strength and help and comfort for us beyond anything we're going to conjure up in our own life. And then if you look in verse 5, this is one of my favorite verses in Psalm 121. It says, the Lord is your keeper. And that word keeper literally means protector. The Lord is our keeper. He's our protector. And if you look back in verse 4, I love that because it reminds us that our keeper, he never takes a break and he never sleeps. In Psalm 121 verse 4 said, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So we have God's keeping care 24/7. And that just comforts me, like I'm weary about something. I see this problem or this person or whatever it may be. And I said, now wait a minute, I need to get my eyes off of that and then get my eyes on this God that the psalmist is writing about in Psalm 121. Now, the second thing on this weariness tools list is have a life verse and make it part of your daily life. Have a life verse. You say, what do you mean a life verse? Well, I just mean a verse that you've been reading your Bible, you're not really looking for a life verse, you're just reading the Bible, and it just seems to be a verse, and you say, you know, I just kind of need to make that kind of my deal for right now. I call that a life verse. Now, I've shared with you that my life verse is Psalm 16, verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8. In the NIV, in the IV. And that verse just very simply says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him in my right hand, I'll not be shaken. Now, the New King James doesn't say it quite like that, but be that as it may, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. This is my life verse. With Him, right, Him will not be shaken. Now, I'm looking at this is my little NIV that I read every day. It's interesting about that verse. I really came on that verse, not in church, not at all. I wrote in my Bible. I wrote effective 9/17/2014, Tahoe. I was at Lake Tahoe, out on the little beach part. That's a beautiful place if you've never been. It's a beautiful place. But I was just out there on the little beach part reading my Bible one day while we were there. In 2014, that verse. Now, I would think surely it's in Psalm 16, verse 8. But for some reason, I don't remember particularly what I may or may not have been going through at that time, but that verse just gripped me. And I thought, you know, that's what I need to do. Keep my eyes, and here's a big word, always on the Lord. And with Him at my right hand, I'll not be shaken. So I drew a line around it and wrote my Bible. And then, it's interesting, I was reading my Bible about that deal this morning. And I have I have November the 22nd, 17. I was in a situation medically, and I had my Bible. And I was by myself a little bit, waiting for some things. And I read my life verse again, and I thought, I wrote in my Bible. I wrote that situation where I was and all. And I just kind of rededicated myself to that life verse. I've done that. I've done it two or three times. Now, that won't always be my life verse. I'm not suggesting it be yours. But I'm just saying, as you read your Bible, don't go saying, I got to find a life verse. Just let God show you one that maybe for you for now. And it'll change. It's 2018. I've been with this thing since September 2014. That's probably longer than I've ever kept a life verse, because as my life changes, different verses seem to be. But that deal every day, I'm going to read that verse. I don't have to read it. I know it by heart. But I encourage you to get you a life verse, and every day you use that. Now, number three. Now, boy, here's a toughie. Minimize as much as possible things and people that make you weary. Now, some things that make you weary, you can eliminate. And you ought to ask that question. If this thing makes me weary, can I just eliminate doing that? Can I eliminate being in that situation? May not can. In fact, you won't be able to eliminate everything. I mean, if you eliminated everything that makes you weary, you'll be at the graveyard. It's just not going to happen. But we can minimize things and people that make you weary. I mean, if certain people don't build you up or they tear you down, unless you just are forced to be in that atmosphere, then the less you can be around that, then the better you will be. And then this number four, I love this number four, guard against saying, boy, this is a toughie, listening, that's tougher, or seeing negative things. Just about don't turn off the evening news because that's all it is negative. I've just never seen it. This climate, I'm not going to get off on the political deal today because it's not for me to get off on. See, politics divides. God called me to unite people around Jesus, so I try to, you know, I try to stay out of all that. It's just not what God called me to do. But I've never in my lifetime that I can remember ever seen such as we're seeing today. Just from all sides, you know, just everybody's against everybody. Like, you know, I just sometimes want to say, is anybody for America anymore? Of course, both sides and everybody's for what? Well, that's one of the things, but, you know, we have to see what's going on. Guard against saying, listening, or seeing negative things. Now, I mentioned Sunday night, I was preaching Sunday night here, and I mentioned Dottie's brother. Both of her brothers are now with the Lord. Her youngest brother was a pastor, a preacher, and he died kind of early. And then her other brother, she's the oldest, her sister's gone to be with the Lord, so there's four of them. And now all of them are gone but Dottie. And interestingly, she's the oldest of the four. Yeah, yeah. Well, her brother that just died this year, very unexpectedly, I mean, none of us even dreamed he was about to die, was probably one of the most positive guys. And I told a story about that Sunday night in my sermon about something about that. But, like he makes Dottie seem like a pessimist. I mean, if you think Dottie's upbeat, you should have met Wayne. I mean, Wayne, he was just for real, And like he had a little rule in his house that there was just no negativity allowed in our house. And if anybody said that, well, I bring that up to say this. About 2 months ago, Dottie's brother's death is still on her mind and mine as well. And she's probably not gotten quite through that yet. I think one reason is it's the last of the siblings. I mean, that's the end. And it was a shocking death. I think that's another thing. But one morning, Dottie said, you know, Wayne was such a positive person, he wouldn't allow negativity in his home. He says, you know what I think we ought to do? And that always scares me when Dottie says that. You know what I think we ought to do? Because first of all, I know she hadn't thought much about it when she says that. You know, just some thought comes to her mind. Here's what I think we ought to do. I said, what do you think we ought to do? Because I was trying to be tender. If she started talking about her brother, I thought, now, you know, God helped me to encourage her here. So whatever her plan is, she said, well, you know, Wayne did not allow any negativity in our home, and hid his home. And he raised both his daughters that way. She said, I think we should just make a rule between you and me that if either one of us says anything negative, the other one just raises her hand and say, negative and it stop. I said, well, I think that's a great idea. I do think it's a good idea. I said, when do you want us to start this? She said, well, if you're serious about it, we'll just start today. I said, okay, let me see if I understand this thing. If, like, you say something that I think is negative, then I just say negative and it stops. She said, that's it. I said, same, yeah. Well, here's how that worked. And it's we still got this thing going, but here's we had a little bump or two she hadn't thought about. Somewhere that very morning, like, she said something about something that I thought was negative. And I said, negative. And she protested. And I said, now, wait a minute here. We've got to, if we're going to do this, she said, well, she told me why she didn't think it. Well, I was still remembered she was still sad about her brother. I thought, well, okay, I'm wrong. Well, a little later in the day, I say something. She says, negative. Well, I protested. I said, well, now we've made a new rule, and it's working pretty good. We've made a rule now that is no protest. And here's how we came to that conclusion. Like, if I say something that I don't even think is negative, and she says negative, it may not be negative from my perspective. But if she thinks it's negative over on her perspective. Or she's hearing it that way. I can't help if she hears wrong. She's hearing it that way. So we've worked this deal out. We've worked this deal out. And you know, it's kind of, you know, a little fun thing now because, I mean, some things that we say, I mean, like if you say something like, boy, our politicians are really in a mess in Washington. Now we have declared that's factual. So we say, I'm telling you things that'll save you days of figuring out. So the negative deal is still going on with us, but there's no protest. But if you want to at least say, well, now, that's a factual statement. If the other will agree to that, then it's okay. Now, if the other doesn't agree, remember the rule, there is no protest. Now, you can laugh if you want to, but I'll tell you what, we can't control negative things other people say, but we can control negative things we say, can we not? And this deal about listing the negative stuff, as much as I can, when I am around people in little groups and they start talking about negative stuff, I'm going to shoot straight with you. I don't say anything. I just like go to the bathroom or just go somewhere and wherever I am. I may come back. Maybe by then they've hushed up. But, you know, whatever we hear, it's like putting garbage in our brain. And that's what negativity is. So these little tools, and I go back to what I said earlier in the beginning. When I find myself weary, you can't control all weariness, but I can prevent, and you can too, much weariness. If you take these little weariness tools, it's made for something men can put in their shirt pocket, their billfold, women do the very same thing. But the next time you feel weary, you just ought to get that little thing out and look and say, okay, did I read my Bible this morning? Well, no, I had so much to do, I didn't have time to do that. Okay. You had time to take a bath and get dressed. What about my life verse? Well, I don't have one of those. Did I minimize as much as possible things that, well, I hadn't thought about that. And then this number four. I'm telling you what, you won't ever make 100, but we can all do better. Father, this is a real deal, this whole matter of being weary. And we can't eliminate it, but we can prevent much of our weariness. And God, you don't mean us to be weary. When we're weary, our minds are not clear. We're not as productive. If I'm weary, I'm not going to be at my best. When I'm not weary, I'm much better than when I am weary. And so, God, the devil gets involved in this, and there's a lot more could be said, but these simple four things would help all of us. God, may the people today take them. Maybe they need to adjust them, tweak them, delete them, add to them. But, God, all of us need to guard against letting anything, anybody, or the devil get us weary. You didn't mean us to be that way. You say you mean that we have an abundant life. God, help us to enjoy life. It's so brief. It passes so quickly. God, help us every day just to say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen.